Here we go. I'm going to play the intro stuff and do it.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Good. That's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
Big old showtime!
Just swinging in the breeze.
When you were making egg foo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing, Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that'll make it bad. For the strolling, go direct to DLNGS. And I see challenges on LinuxLink.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the cast is just about to begin.
Oh no, Dave.
Yeah.
What episode are we on? I forgot.
1053?
Yep.
Oh, 1053. Welcome to episode 1053 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Joe.
Yep, I'm here.
And we have Dave.
Hello.
And Joel will be showing up shortly. Oh, sorry. Yeah, that's the way the days, couple days have been. Got approval to go take that new deployment method for WordPress VIP to the next level. That would be our main branch. We have the three branches developed stage. We had developed staging, prototype staging main. We consolidated down the development main and prototype staging gone. The next step was to just go to main, and make that just that single branch with the new development deployment method that I had. We decided Monday it was time to do it because pretty much everything that absolutely needed to get in from into the production environment is in there. So now's a good time to do it. And one of my coworkers that I work very closely with had a open PR against main branch and asked if he could merge his stuff first, which I graciously said yes, but it's been 2 days now.
Publish request?
A what? Oh, no, PR. Pull request. Yeah, pull request on the GitHub repository. So, we open feature branches, and then when it's time to go to whatever environment, when you're done, like you open a feature branch, you test, you work on that locally, and then you open a PR from the feature branch into the main branch for all our applications except for.
And then, but until WordPress. You push it out, it's pending and no one else can do crap.
To an extent. So we could have multiple feature branches PRs open at one time. Once it passes tests and somebody else reviews it, then it's good to merge in. The thing about the VIP repository is that because we had three separate branches, development, staging, main, all the work was being done in the develop branch. And then once that was vetted and ready to go, it would go into development and then get tested. And when it looked like it was good to go, it would then be pushed into staging, which had more testing. And if it was approved in staging, then we can push it to production. So usually development was treated like the way we treat all other branches. Once it would go to staging and production, it was more or less, so long as it passes all the tests, you don't really need to get approval. If it's something that is like pretty big, like we're talking an upgrade of WordPress or PHP version or anything like that, we would want to do a lot more testing, get other like product involved to make sure everything looks good. And cause they work closely with the end users. So there might be stuff that they want to look at and make sure that workflows and everything haven't been impacted. So that kind of is the way that it goes, but we're kind of consolidating it all down to one branch again, which is supposed to be the main branch because the big problem that we ran into with these three separate branches is that development is way out of sync from staging and way out of sync from the main branch. And so it's gotten to be kind of a mess. And the way that it would propagate changes through the environments, once you merged in your pull request, you would take that SHA and use that to do a cherry pick commit against a feature branch off of the higher environment, and that would go like that. So it became such a pain in the ass. And now we're kind of paying the price, is what I'm getting at, is that we're ready to go. I've been ready to go for a couple of days. The guy who wants to merge his feature branch in to main first is facing a problem where one of our integration tests is failing, and it has nothing to do with what he did. And what becomes even more frustrating is it's failing for every single pull request against the main branch now. 2 days ago, it was working fine. The change that went in, 3 days ago, I should say, the change that was merged into the main branch should have absolutely no impact on the test, or is not even relevant to the test. But something changed and we can't figure out what it is. And what makes it extremely frustrating is that we can test it locally and it passes. But invariably, it fails in the GitHub Actions report, in when where it counts. I thought maybe it was an environment issue, because it doesn't impact the development branch. It only impacts the main branch. It's consistently that one file. If I move tests around, it changes. Like, I could get that file, that test to pass if I run it first. But then another test fails. If I move that test to the end, it passes. But the test that was going to be after that test where it was will fail the same way the other test failed. So then I skip the test before it, and it still fails. And I move the test before it to the end, and it still fails. Then I move the test before the test that I moved to the end, and it still fails. I move that test to the front, that fails, and it passes, but then a bunch of other tests fail. So it makes no sense as to why it's failing. And the weird thing about it is that it's failing on the thing it does to set up the test that is going to run. It's a before hook action that fails. And that is logging in and going to the page to post the story. So it fails when it tries to get that post new story page. It gets a 400 back from the server, apparently. And there's no good logging for this when we're trying to determine what's causing it. We do have artifacts that get saved, which is a actual video of the screen capture for Cypress, which is nuts. And normally you would think it would be helpful, but the only thing that this shows is a response from the server saying you got a 400. So it doesn't really give us good information as to why. So we spent 2 days now trying to solve this problem and fix it. And I've been trying to bring little changes in from dev, reverting those, trying to do like one change at a time. And the thing is, when you try to test this, when you make a change and try to test it, it takes like 20 minutes to 20, 25 minutes to get through the entire integration testing. Because what it has to do is when you push your change up, it checks out the branch and then it pulls down the WordPress image and then it sets up the database. It builds our application inside of it. It sets up the entire environment then for how it's supposed to operate. And then it runs through all the integration tests. And those tests on their own take at least 10 minutes. So that whole thing takes, like I say, anywhere from 20 to 30 minutes to complete for every little change. And the test that I'm looking at is kind of almost in the middle. So when that test fails, then I can start looking at other things. If it fails, if I move it to the end, then I got to wait to the end. If I, and regardless, if I move stuff around and that test passes, I still have to wait to the end to make sure that all the other tests pass. And then that's when it's, the problem starts moving around. So that really complicates it. It's just been a nightmare and a headache because it can't replicate it. There's nothing in the logs that has been helpful. It almost feels like if I were to look at this and say it's passing in development, but it's not, and it's passing locally when I run it locally, it feels like a resource issue or something that's indicative of the environment that it's running in. But the GitHub runner, all the variables are the same between the development branch and the main branch when it's running in the GitHub Actions. And they're essentially the same when we're running them locally. The only difference is we're not doing it through Docker locally, but development is in Docker. The main branch is using Docker. It's baffling. It's painful, Dave. It's painful.
Sounds that way.
Now, and then you would also think, well, then it's sure. got to be a code related issue, like something changed in the code. But 2 days ago, it was passing. And the only thing that changed from 2 days ago has no relevance to why this test would be failing. In fact, I even rolled back that change and ran it, and it still failed. One thing did happen 2 days ago between when that was merged in and now, and there was an outage at GitHub yesterday that lasted a good portion of the day. I would say at least 6 hours. And there was a network change, from one of their third party vendors that they use, and it caused problems where it was taking a really long time for workflows to be picked up. And that's the only other difference that I recognize in there. But why would that still be lingering around and causing a problem, this specific problem? Who the hell knows? It's such a pain in the butt. Is that you, Joel?
It is. I'm here.
Good, good. We were waiting. Dave was waiting for you. He was excited.
Sure.
Yeah, we refused to start the show without you. Except we did the intro and everything, and we were talking tech. And
never, yeah. Ever wait for me.
We don't.
Ay, 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 ay.
Oh, okay.
But there we are. Fun. Until they take that test away. Even skipping the test doesn't matter because the next one fails. So it's such a freaking pain in the ass.
As the people in my company would say, something must have changed.
Yeah, I wish I could find out what it is. the one guy, the other guy I'm working with on this thing, he's going through, and because the development and main branches are kind of like really out of whack, he's trying to take all the changes in development and process them through main. And we're talking like hundreds of them, you know, and it's, he's kind of narrowing things down, but it kind of, to even to him, it doesn't make sense as to why this is a problem. But there we are.
There we are. Yep.
Me, I would just like to take that development branch and just make it our production branch. That's where everything seems to, and that's going to be a challenge. You know, how, even if we were to try to do that, it would be a bit of a challenge because it would have to go through some pretty thorough testing before we would push that into production. Anyway. Yeah, that's right, Joel. Yeah.
Testing? What's that?
Yeah.
Development.
And when you develop, just do it in prod.
That's how
there's a lot of companies that do that.
I know. Yep.
Testing in prod. Gotta love it.
Yep. So I saw an interesting, actually, when I went to Hamvention, I saw a set.
Oh, you went to Hamvention this past weekend?
Yes, I did.
Oh, how was it?
It was pretty good. It rained a little on Friday, but
was
the rest
outdoors?
Of the weekend. Yeah, well, it's at a fairground, so yeah. part of it's outdoors. Part of it, you know, there's basically three main barns and two smaller buildings. And then there's the flea market that's out on the racetrack there at the Greene County Fairgrounds.
Hold on a second. I got a question I got to ask.
Yeah.
I have to ask.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Joe, do you have a fairgrounds where you live?
Probably, yes.
You do?
Yes. Yes, we do.
Do you have a fairgrounds around Clemson?
Technically, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Because I'm thinking, I'm like, I don't think there's any fairgrounds that I know of anywhere near this area.
Yeah. Like, I'm sure there is.
There were fairgrounds up in Pennsylvania, but I don't know of any fairgrounds around here.
Do you have a temporary area that gets used for fairgrounds? I mean,
not that I'm aware of.
Do you not have a county fair?
I don't know of any fair.
It may be that real estate's too expensive where you live.
It could be. Now, there's the Southampton County Fair in Cortland, Virginia.
Well,
That's a little ways out, though.
We have a state fair, which is in Dallas. But, like, most of the places
I live
that I remember, but, yeah, a lot of that's Iowa. So, you know, county fairs were a thing.
Yeah, yep. There's nothing. I mean, there's Heritage in Windsor, Heritage Park, Southampton County Fair in Cortland, Virginia, and Cowan County Regional Fair in Edenton, North Carolina. There's nothing around here.
We have a county fair, but I mean, we have a county fairgrounds. It's near the racetrack. That's why I was laughing at Joel because it sounded, you know, with the barns and a racetrack and the fairgrounds, it sounded like South Carolina. But
our
fairground,
the main thing that happens there
is the carny comes. And my wife works for
the carny.
Yeah. Once a year the carny folk show up and they put up all their rides.
Yeah.
My wife works for the Department of Health as a nurse and, there's a definite spike in two things after the carny comes. One is 9 months later, there's a whole bunch of teenage pregnancies.
Babies.
And two, there's a lot of syphilis and those things actually spike. Because of the carny folk.
Not surprised. Not surprised.
Well, I know, sure, like,
which is weird because Dave both gets syphilis and pregnant.
You can get both of those at the fair.
So anyway.
In a combo deal for free. No.
Right.
Continuing on with like the fair bit. Like when I was a kid growing up, we had the county fair. They had buildings that were permanently set up, but it was only really used for like 1 week out of the year by the fair.
And, right.
And, like for 4-H, we would go there and we would present whatever projects we had been working on for the year. And they'd have all the fair stuff there, and there might be rides, but there was definitely the different, like, shows. So the cattle shows, horse shows, the animal shows, and all, the judging and everything else. And then you could go and you could get funnel cake and things like that. But I know here, a lot of it is rides, and, like, my cousin, who's in the Marine Corps band, came
for real?
In and, yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah.
awesome.
And we would get into this when they come here, we get into the state fair for free because, you know, he can get us tickets in and we get to go see him play.
Awesome.
What's he play?
It's awesome.
Trumpet.
Okay.
There you go. It's also a place you can get a dildo too. So
I was actually watching the Marine Corps band on YouTube less than a week ago.
Were you in the dildo with it?
No.
There you go. So back to Hamvention. They have forums, which I know they've had them, forums or, you know, sessions or whatever you want to call them. All right. Never really went to too many, but I did this year. I went to one on using Arduino for amateur radio. And it was a really cool presentation. There's a lot of modules and stuff that are available for the Arduino that I didn't even know. I knew, the kit I have, I actually pulled out the Arduino Uno kit I have. I mean, it's more of a learning, although, you know, it's got the standard Arduino Uno version 3 board. But you can put, like, I don't know if it's a thermistor or a temperature sensor, that you can put in it and basically have, you know, you have a thermometer, you know. But at the talk the guy talked about, I did not know this, but they have a lightning detector for Arduino. They have a wind speed sensor. I don't know if they have one specifically for wind direction or the barometer, but I'm sure there might be one. So, but it was really interesting, like all these different modules that you could use with the Arduino, and I actually might try and build something with the they have an MP3 module. I might try and build like a little sound box that I can mess around with, especially at Halloween, and then put a motion sensor on it or something like that, and have MP3s that will play when the kids walk by or something like that. So we'll see. I gotta bone up my skills on it and figure out all the sketches, which is in the code for the sketches looks a lot like C. But I think you can also write stuff for it in Python as well. So it was a good talk, and I'm interested in doing some things with Arduino now, more than I was in the past.
I've always wanted to get my ham license and it's just never done it, but, I found out, last week my son-in-law just decided to do it and did it. I mean, he studied up one day, took the test that night.
The technician class is not hard.
Yeah.
Yep. That's not hard. That one's pretty easy. I have the general. I might start studying for the extra, which is the highest one you can get.
Yeah.
There's no Morse code requirement anymore. It's all gone. So you don't have to learn Morse just to get the license. You might want to learn it so that you can use the mode.
Yeah.
Technically, you don't even have to do that. They got boxes that you can attach to the radio that will both translate and help you send Morse with either – like a recording box or a box that basically will just decode it for you. I passed 13 when I took the general exam, but that's no longer a requirement. And guess what? I can't copy it anymore.
Yeah.
Some people I know of with Morse can literally pick words out of a stream, and I'm like, I'm not that good. I had to translate each letter.
Yeah. My son-in-law just woke up one morning.
That's why I'm not good.
He just woke up one morning and decided he wanted to do it. He took some practice tests and took the test later that day and got it.
Oh, yeah. A9PW is what you want to Google. I think it's like 889PW.org. That usually has the current question pools, and they can generate, and that's where you can practice taking it.
What's that? 889PW?
A9PW, yeah.
A-A.
But it's the extra one gets more difficult. Like, you gotta remember things like the formula for capacitive reactants and other things like that, cause you might get questions, relating to that on the test. So. And then to find a place, you just Google it and you can find a place near you. But it's
take the test.
Yeah.
Yeah, he took it online. And it was a lot like, it's a lot like these online tests college students have to do during the pandemic.
I don't know if you could take the,
He took it online and he had to have a webcam and show the test administrator that, he wasn't cheating. He had to show his environment and take the test.
Well, for a fact, though, I know that you can go to...
There was a lot of that during COVID.
Yeah. They're doing it with the ham test now.
Well, I know for a fact you can go take it at the Southeast Linux Fest this year.
Yep.
So, if you want to study for it and go take it, you can take it there. And it doesn't really matter where you take it. You don't have to take it locally. Although sometimes that's a good idea because then you meet people that you might run into on the air. But the thing I always like about the ham radio community is they're so easy to talk to. When I'm at Hamvention, I can strike up a conversation with almost anybody there, and it's not like any other place I've been, including Linux Fest. So
well, I'm sure you can carry a conversation with just about anybody, Joel.
Ha ha.
What? That was a compliment.
Yeah, that is a compliment.
No, I know it is, but it's one of those things where politics don't really. I mean, not once all weekend did I hear anybody grouse about the ex-president or the current president or any of that nature, and I loved that. I mean, there was a few guys wearing Trump hats there, but whatever.
Bill Burr, Donald.
I am surprised that ham radio and Arduino hasn't been brought up a lot sooner. You know what I mean?
It seems
like a perfect marriage right there. That
no, literally is. I mean, I'm gonna have to buy. I'm waiting for the guy that gave the talk wrote a book called More Arduino with Ham Radio, which literally has like projects that you can do. And he talked about where to buy parts. You can go to Adafruit or some of those other places and buy parts. By parts, I mean like resistors, capacitors, speakers, and little things like that. But he recommend going to AliExpress because you can buy them a lot cheaper.
Yeah, well, Adafruit, has okay prices, not as good as AliExpress, of course. But once you add in the shipping costs from them, it's unless you're buying a crap ton, it's not worth it.
Well, from Adafruit or AliExpress?
Adafruit.
Okay. Yeah. Adafruit's good. SparkFun's good, too.
Element 14...
There's one thing I did not know, though, is that as popular as Arduino is, there's actually both Chinese and both not Chinese people that will basically put together their own compatible Arduino boards. There's some that
because they're open source hardware, so
yeah. So, but some of them actually are like that, where they don't necessarily put like I know Elegoo makes an Arduino board. The 3D printing people, yes. Of course, they probably base some of their printers on Arduino boards. A lot of your 3D printers are based on Arduino boards. So, But Arduino, and then he also talked a little bit about using. He said start with Arduino Uno or the Arduino Nano boards, but he's also mentioned the Raspberry Pi 2040 boards or the what's called the Pico Pi. That's basically a microcontroller architecture as well. The Raspberry Pi ones have like things like Wi-Fi in them, but you can get Arduino with that as well now. But the one thing he did talk about, and it's basically in use at the ARRL headquarters in Newington, Connecticut. If you go to W1AW, which is the station that's permanently there, and anybody with their license, of course, can go and operate as W1AW at that station. They developed a basically wireless Morse code key. So basically, they have a set of paddles. You know, one side does the dits or dots. The other side does the dashes or DAWs, right? And, built an Arduino, and I believe it uses Bluetooth to go to the radio which has another module Arduino plugged in, and then it transmits the Morse code that way. You know, cause it has to connect to the radio somehow, but they do it with wireless. That way the key just sits in front of the radio and looks pretty. So. But if you go and visit W1AW, you'll see that. So, but that the Arduino is such a powerful little thing, and it's one of the things I wish I knew better. And so I'm going to try and learn it better.
How many Arduinos do you have?
One.
You have breadboard and everything too?
Yeah. Well, you gotta remember my degree, my bachelor's is in electronics engineering technology, so I actually have a lot of parts already too.
There's a lot of interesting boards. I mean, that use similar stuff like the, yes. The Pi Pico, the Teensy. Who makes the Teensy?
I don't remember the Teensy, but for a long time
it gets used in a lot of
headphones,
DIY keyboards.
Oh yeah.
Adafruit Industries JPRC Teensy. Oh, evidently a lot of people.
There's also the Stamp microcontroller, which is a really old one that's been used for years in the ham radio community. It's more or less just a chip.
Like when I was making the hotkey keyboards.
Yes.
12 key or 8 key. I was using the Teensy for that.
Yep. Yeah, I know what a lot of one project for hams is like you develop a voice keyer for when you're doing sideband. So like a great event here coming up at the end of June is ARRL Field Day. It's basically where you take your radios and go into, well, if you really want to get high points, you go into the field running off emergency power or generator, and try and make as many contacts as you can in a 24-hour period. So you're seeing the same thing over and over again. CQ Field Day, CQ Field Day, CQ Field Day. This is W3REZ, CQ Field Day. All right, so rather than do that with your voice every single time in the microphone, you can develop an Arduino box that literally plays that by just pressing a button. And then the only thing you have to say is your signal report. But you could
do something similar with like a Raspberry Pi, and then also have it set up with software-defined radio.
Right, all that stuff too. Yeah, Yeah.
I think another popular board is what the MSP 430 and all its variants.
Yep. And I'm going to see what Adafruit wants for their Uno boards. Or I actually want to get a Nano as well. But yeah, microcontrollers are basically what you would use when you need to do something simple, but you don't need the computing power of like a Raspberry Pi or the overhead of a Raspberry Pi.
There's this one popular one, the ESP8266.
One of the things you're thinking of is the ESP32 as well.
Yeah, this one is the ESP8266 with the ESP12F Wi-Fi module, and it's compatible with the Arduino code set. And there's an entire library to make it compatible with, I think it's the Alexa libraries.
Okay.
Either that or it's like
IoT stuff.
Yeah. So you can make your own like IoT lamp or stuff like that to turn it on, turn it off, change colors.
Ooh. This is one thing I need to look at. The Adafruit has a prototyping shield for the Arduino. So basically you can put your circuit on this prototyping board and then just plug it into the top of the Arduino board.
That would be cool. Like
yep.
I assume it's not actually like a breadboard, but it's like a breadboard.
It's yeah, you solder it and use wires
directly into
the
Arduino.
Correct. Like yeah.
That is kind of awesome.
And they're only $10 a piece too. That's the other thing. Arduinos and a lot of these microcontrollers. You got to look like what's a Pico cost? Like $10? The Raspberry Pi Pico?
When I was getting them, they were like $2-3. I know I bought a bunch of them.
What did you do with them, though?
Nothing.
Okay.
When I got them on like launch day, and then I was planning on coming back to them once, you know, there was a bit more development in the community.
Anything.
And then I never got back to them, and I don't know where I put them.
That's happened to me before.
Yeah, they were like on super sale for their first day, and I was able to pick up like four or five of them.
Right.
And then they just sat there and they collect dust.
Well, and then a lot of these too, like, you know, a lot of people think, well, oh, there I got to learn, you know, I got to learn electronics and stuff like that. Well, you don't necessarily, I mean, that would be a good thing to learn when you're messing with them, but honestly, you can just probably Google make blah with Arduino and find somebody who already has done it.
Or something similar that requires
and
very
it would
little
even
modification.
And it would even have the code, you know?
Yeah.
You know, that all you might have to do is make some minor tweaks for your specific purpose. But one of the early stories I remember reading about Arduinos was the guy had a dishwasher where the main circuit board went out, and he basically replaced it with an Arduino.
That's a lot of programming.
I know. Yeah, plus each dishwasher is different.
Right.
It doesn't have little hairs and corns in the filter that the insurance, the apartment complex person complains about.
I gotta take mine apart.
A dishwasher?
I'll probably just replace the dang thing.
The dishwasher?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you'll have to replace yours, Joe. Dan's done his, I've done mine.
I already did that.
What did I do?
You replaced the dishwasher, didn't you, in the last year?
Oh,
the apartment
complex. No. Wait.
Years
I think it's been about a year since we replaced, the dishwasher was replaced, but we've gone through two pumps on it since then, too. Yeah.
Well, mine, we usually run it at night, you know. Not like every night, but like every second or third night. And I guess nobody noticed because it's coming out like underneath the floorboards, but like part of my wood floor is now ruined.
Rotten. Yeah.
Like warped. That, not rotted, just yeah. warped.
That's what happened to us. We have laminate in the kitchen and yeah. it's warped in front of it right now. So
yeah.
So I got to get that replaced too eventually before yep. we sell the house. But
one thing I do think about, I'm going to probably order before I start to do my building on Arduino, is I want to get, like, I have a pair of helping hands, but I want to get the pair of helping hands with a friggin' magnifying glass, because even with my new glasses, I still have trouble reading shit off of the IC chips now. I mean,
I have one right in front of me, and yeah, it's got the helping hands on it. And you can swap out the helping hands for a phone mount if you want to. And then it's also, it's got a clip, so you can clip it onto your desk and move it around. And it's also got the magnifying glass with a big frickin' light ring around it. And you know, my eyes aren't that bad, and I still just love this thing and use the crap out of it.
Yep. Because let me tell, well, that's the funniest thing, too. If I look at, like, the resistors and stuff that came with my little, kit that I got when I ordered my Arduino years ago now, and they're tiny. Then I look at the stuff I had in what we're talking, what, 89, 90, and 91 and 92 when I was in college. They're huge. Plus, you know, back then too, like they put out, most of the chips I was using back then are DIP chips. I don't really want to do any surface mount shit, but, you know, it's, and you don't really have to mess with Arduino, but good God, you know, I do want to eventually get, a good solder station with the hot air part of it too. Cause that would be nice to have, you know, but I wouldn't necessarily need it for doing surface mount. To do, what's it, Tronics Fix, you know? I don't want to do what he does. I just want to build little things to do stuff around the house. You know? Scare the shit out of the trick-or-treaters. Or, you know, do some ham radio thing.
Tronics Fix takes things from, you know, the simple
perspective. Yes.
He doesn't really do like reballing and stuff like that, which is the difficult part. I mean,
reflowing, he does.
He sometimes, but not very often. If it's a simple reflow, he might do it. But like the coder, he will do reballing, and he will remove parts with his hot air gun and redo them and replace them, but definitely not Tronics Fix. He's a great repair guy, but that's what his goal is to get something repaired the easiest way possible.
And then make money off of it. Like you do, a little bit.
Well, he wants to do it the easy way. Me, I'm doing it to, you know, usually learn shit, and then if I can turn around and resell it so I can buy my next project, I'm happy.
Or you have five backups to your Bluetooth headphones.
Five? Where did you learn to count?
You probably have 10.
20?
Or more. 20, yeah.
20, yeah, 20-ish. That's a conservative estimate. I do a lot of playing around with Bluetooth.
One thing I'm thinking I may have to do before my hike is go get me some of the around the neck LG tones so that I don't have to switch my headphones. I know, and they're hard to find now.
Yeah, no, everybody moved away from the around the neck stuff. You can still find them, but you usually can't find like the LGs. You can find the cheapo ones though, easy enough.
Oh yeah, those are easy enough to find, but they usually suck.
Which is why they tend to get new drivers when they're in my house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
But if they've got a terrible mic, there's crap all you can do about it.
Plus, the one problem I've been having with my Iowas is I'll go to take one of them out, and the fucking cushion stays inside my ear.
Yep, that sucks.
Yep, so I either get, like, a key or like tweezers or toothpick or something and pry the sucker out. Ugh. Happened to me today. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, can't I have a day where that doesn't happen?
White toothpaste.
Yeah, I think they're just getting old, I think.
White toothpaste.
White toothpaste.
White toothpaste.
What do you do? Put it on the
stem.
Stem? Oh.
Yeah, it acts a bit like a paste, but because it's toothpaste, you know, it's not that big a deal to get rid of it like it would be if you glued it on there.
Yeah, you can wash it off, right?
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't wash it, but a little IPA, a little alcohol.
Yeah, okay, right. Yeah. Interesting. Cool. I'll have to try that. I don't have any. I have the.
But you do have to let it dry for like 24 hours.
Yeah, I could do that. Probably on a weekend. Not during the week. No, during the week, I end up switching back and forth between the two all the time. And definitely on hike. Because one of my biggest complaints about most of the in-ear style now is because. And I clean them. I literally have a kit that I can use to clean like USB ports and shit like that out. And with that, I have the tools in there are necessary to clean the little contact pads on the back of the earbuds out. But it always seems that one of them will just not make contact. I'll put them in and then like not even an hour in, one of them will die. And that's because it just didn't make the full contact and charge things. That's every earbud other than the AirPods have this problem. The AirPods, yeah, I've had the left or right go dead first, but not for hours, you know. So, but. The Iowas, that happens. I've had that happen on the LG Tones. On the Skull Candies. I'm not a fan of the Pogo pin connectors for those.
Yeah. But, all of them kind of suck.
Yep.
And they I found that they oxidize extremely easily.
They do. That's why I clean it with I have some deoxit or, whatever the cleaner came. I bought one of the cleaner kits that I think came from one of Joe Bourne's companies, Digital Innovations, and it works pretty well. The cleaner that came with it, but deoxit is probably better and, you can get that at Micro Center. But, you can also get the spray version of it, too.
Isopropyl can do it if you can get in there with something extremely small to scratch it. But you need good eyes for that. Or a magnifying glass.
Yeah, old age really sucks for that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yep. I've actually gotten my new glasses on now. My astigmatism in my left eyeball got worse. So I decided I might as well. I mean, it was only been a year for the first set, but I get like $150 on my Vision VSP plan for my four frames every year, so I might as well get them, you know. And then spend even more money because they had, I think they had like a get the second pair off for 50%, so I got another pair of prescription sunglasses. Ray-Ban Wayfarers, man. Remember those from high school? I could never afford them back then.
You're going to get LASIK?
No, I don't think so. I don't know if that would help me anyway. I know one thing that does run in my family that I got to watch out for is glaucoma. My grandfather had that.
My great grandmother had it.
I always great, do great too.
Grandmother, excuse me.
Since my eye care plan will pay for it, they have a machine there that will you basically lean into it until you see the green dot, and then it snaps a picture of your retina. It's actually pretty cool because you can see all the veins and crap in your eyeballs in the back of your eyes. But I recommend that if you have that as an option on your plan, go for it. It's a lot easier and better than some of the other tests they use for that. Although I was now to take your pressures in your eyeballs, which that's part of the one of the things they look for in glaucoma diagnosis is the pressure. It used to be this like huge machine, and now it's just this little handheld thing, and they point it into your eyeball and puffs a little bit of air in your eye and makes you blink.
They do that.
Yep. It's an important thing to get done when you're at the optometrist. I'm also supposed to be putting eye drops in my eyes because I get dry eye pretty bad. So I usually go with instead of getting like a one that's in a bottle and you just carry, you know, just use the same bottle all the time, I get the box of the single use ones so that I don't have to worry about getting smuts on the tip that goes near your eye.
Well, on the day you do your hike, you might want to just bring a big ass bottle.
Yeah. Now they haven't my wife, when she goes to a special eye doctor, because she's got, the doctor has to look out for diabetic retinopathy. So she goes to, Dr. Erdy on the east side. And, whenever she goes, I have to take her because they always dilate her eyes every single time. They have done that with me, but not the last couple times. The last couple times they didn't dilate my eyeballs.
No, they always dilate mine.
Yeah. The dilation doesn't suck until you go outside.
Yeah, it's the drive home.
Yeah. Oh, trust me. I drove home after they did that. That was a fucking mistake. I did make it, and I have no idea how I made it, but I made it. Ooh. Adafruit has a 2.9-inch tricolor e-ink paper display. I could see how that would be handy. Wouldn't want to use it on any of my ham radio stuff, especially if it's something that's like a... showing like a VU meter or anything like that, mostly because it would be moving too much. And I guess in that session, they said if you're intending on updating an e-ink display for faster than every 3 minutes, then you could potentially damage the display. They said you can do it, but. Yeah, I'm gonna have to start doing some of that because that's fun. I can do ham radio handy things too. So, in fact, I saw one there. I don't know if it was based on that, but it was a company literally selling this, and you can plug it into your radio, and when you're on the Morse code band, it will decode the Morse code for you on the screen, and then you can type into it and have it send the Morse code back. You can do that with a computer too. But that could be based on something similar to that. A lot of that stuff is. I just wish the radios themselves would be cheaper. I haven't looked at it. There was a project at one point to develop an open source ham radio. I don't know if they were going to software defined at the time or not, but I forgot what happened to that.
Dadgum, that's a long URL. There's notice.
Thank you, Amazon.
Yeah, I just put it there.
What is it? Oh, yeah, that's nice. Adding that to my wish list.
It's similar to the one I have, but I promise you I didn't pay no $50 for mine.
See, stuff like that that's perfect for, like, when Christmas gets here and I get gift cards. And if it's on my wish list, I'll think, oh, I'll get that. Because
actually
I can't count on my
gift
family.
Gift cards on yourself. It's crazy.
Yeah, right? Or certain, like, okay, like, when you buy gift cards for people, there's certain people that I will buy specific gift cards for.
Really,
like,
personal,
like, yeah, like my,
if I get the, if I get my, my wife's dad a gift card, it's going to be to Harbor Freight every time.
Yeah. Or like my niece, who is the one that has the baby, I usually get something she can use, but not that she can use on her son because she doesn't buy herself enough things. And the gift's not for him. I get him a gift, you know. But I want her to have some fun because, you know, it sucks that she got pregnant when she was still in high school and had to take care of her son. And she deserves to have something to make her life a little easier. So I usually end up getting her a Starbucks gift card because she does like coffee. I do too. Actually, at Hamvention, that's the only thing I actually bought at Hamvention was coffee. There was a company there called, I think, Conflict Cup.
You bought it to take home?
Yep. Beans.
Weren't you involved with a coffee company for a while?
Not involved, but I feel like I am because I buy from them every month or so. Viking Coffee in Michigan. But no, not involved. I just think highly of them.
Me.
Ah, there you go. Conflict Cup Coffee Company, proudly roasted in Dayton, Ohio. And what I got was El Salvador honey. It's actually a light roast, which is unusual for me. And it's very smooth. It's a good drink. It's a good drinking one. What I need to do is go make some cold brew out of this, because that would make some banging cold brew. Yeah, this one just opened up. It's a veteran-owned coffee company.
Metronome? What did you say?
Veteran owned.
Oh, veteran owned. Okay.
Which seems to be a thing with veterans nowadays, because I think both the coffee companies I've got coffee from in the last year have been owned by veterans. Black Rifle is too. Their stuff's pretty good, too. I like their canned coffees, too. Yeah, I got all the slides I took. Oh, and I forgot to mention, yes, I did indeed see W5TUX, or K5TUX, I'm sorry, and W5MOO at Hamvention. That would be Russ Woodman and Cheryl.
And they're still doing SMLR?
SMLR? No. Linux in the Ham Shack.
Linux in the Ham Shack.
They are. They indeed are. Actually, they were passing out They would you donate, and they give you. They could give out a thumb drive. And what's the name of that software you use on thumb drives for booting Linux?
Ventoy.
ISOs. Yeah.
Ventoy. Yeah.
Yep, that's what they had that loaded on there, so that basically you could stick it in your laptop and boot any number of distros. And a couple of them were set up ham radio specific out of the box, which is pretty cool. But I think one thing too, and I'm going to start doing, is buying like resistors, capacitors, LEDs, and things that I can use on multiple different projects, just so I have them on hand if I wanted to build something. Because if I have it now, you know, if I order it now from AliExpress and get it, you know, I've not got anything that's so important that I have all the parts right now. But if I buy it now, then when I think it's starting to do something, and if I already have them here, it makes it a whole lot easier to get started. Ugh.
Hey, Dan.
Yes, sir.
You remember me mentioning Expra a while back? It's like a screen session for X apps.
Oh, was that? Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, you run an Expra server on like a headless machine, and you can start a graphical program, and then from another machine, you can attach it and detach it and blah, blah, blah. On my Arch machine, Expra got updated to version 6, and the headless machine that I run the Expra server on is a Debian machine that's running version 3, and all of a sudden it just quit working.
Oh.
So on the Debian machine, I upgraded to version 6, thinking problem solved. And it was, but it wasn't, because the program I'm serving is audio, and version 3 had no problem whatsoever with serving audio from that machine to the other one. But version 6, it was just like this huge lack of functionality. I mean, it wasn't OpenGPL anymore. It wouldn't forward sound anymore. And I'm sure there was a way around it, but my solution was just to keep version 3 on a Debian machine. That was a pain, but I've never seen. It's been a long time since I've seen a program skip 3 versions and suffer so much in functionality.
So you liking the new version now, or?
No, I'm not running a new version. I can no longer from my Arch machine attach to an Expra server on a Debian machine.
Because Debian's not updated to the same version, is it?
It's not, but. If I upgrade Debian to 6, the performance is just so poor, it's unusable.
And is it a known issue?
I don't know. I mean, I worked on it for, you know, a couple of hours trying to, you know, get OpenGPL working, try to get the sound working. They even have an HTML5 client where you can run the programs in a web browser. And that fixed the OpenGL part, but it didn't fix the sound part. So I just said, screw it. If I need to access that program on a machine with a monitor, I'll just go back in this other room where my Debian machine is. But
can you roll it back, the Arch version, get the older version?
I'm sure I could. I didn't think of that.
Then you can be back in your happiness.
Yeah.
So wait, it's version, what version is it on Arch?
It's 6 point something. Yeah.
And I guess what, Debian's 3?
Debian Stable's 3, but there's Expra repos for Debian Stable that you can run the more recent version on. So I enabled that repo, imported the key, and did all that, and it installed just fine, and it uninstalled just fine. I'm back to where I was, and I'm happy. I just have to walk to another room to, if that program dies or something, I have to go back to another room and restart it, but not a big deal. But it was a little bit of a pain.
They're getting you, Dave.
I wonder if you get
a better system.
I wonder if this DF player, MP3 player module I have, if I can make Dan a brand new MP3 player that doesn't suck.
Good luck.
Right?
It's all about the programming.
Yep. Are you resigned to just using your phone now, right, Dan?
I've been using my phone.
Welcome to the
21st century.
Yeah, whatever century.
You know what I don't like about using, the only thing I don't like is that it's when I pull in the feeds, when I set up the feeds and everything, it shows you all the stuff. Like all the episodes in that feed. And there is an option in there to hide the ones that you've already listened to. Mm-hmm. So what I end up doing is...
What client is this again? What application are you using?
Isn't it Podcast Addict?
Okay.
Let me see. Let me double check. Yes, Podcast Addict. And it works very well. Don't get me wrong. I guess there probably is a way to mark stuff that I think I've already listened to in the past. But anyway, so what ends up happening is when I get to the end of an episode of something, it's usually when I'm working out, right? So I have to go, if I want to delete it, I have to go to the page and find that episode in the list and delete it. But if I don't do it right, I can't see the episode in the list because I've already listened to it. So I gotta unhide everything, then delete it, then rehide it. And sometimes it gets a little confusing as to which one I just listened to and which one I'm going to listen to. You know what I mean? So it just gets a little confusing at times. Not drastically.
Sounds super annoying.
Yeah. So I just need to be careful because like when I have the episode up, and like when it's finished, there's no way that I could, there's nothing in the menu for that episode that says I can delete it. So then I go back to the page for that show, and I have to make sure I click on the right one to delete it from the menu in there. And not end up inadvertently deleting what I haven't listened to yet. But other than that, it's working great. I love my phone, but I'm bummed about the charging problem with the phone. Because
it's not like getting another Pixel 5 wouldn't be cheap.
Right.
But you're going to run into the same problem because it happened to my Pixel 5 too. I mean.
Right.
You can get it 6
too. How old is the Pixel 5 now?
It's very old.
Yeah, it's very old.
It's not even supported anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm on a Pixel 4a.
Oh, even worse.
Yeah. So, I mean, it runs great. I love it.
Why not get a nothing phone?
What do you mean get a nothing phone?
It's called nothing.
It's literally called a nothing phone. From the guys that brought you OnePlus.
Well, how much is that?
I don't know.
See, the thing is, the thing is, I love my phone, and it works, and it does everything that I want it to do, and it works great, except for that charging issue. And, like, we just got new side tables upstairs next to our bed, and it's got, like, I could charge my phone from there, but I can't. Because the only way I can charge my phone right now is, like, when I'm working, I have it pushed up against the wall.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did.
Yeah, and the cord going in there.
The ground mold and just at a certain angle.
Yeah, and you gotta get it at that angle.
Well, yeah.
And the cord, the USB cable has to be facing the right way.
Yeah.
Cause if you turn it upside down, no matter how much, you know, the other way, no matter how much you jostle it or angle it, it's not gonna work.
Yep.
It's so persnickety.
That my son loves his OnePlus Nord N200. Which we got on Amazon for $80. Well, we got his replacement. We got his original one for free, but he ended up like face planting that into a parking lot. And so I got him a replacement for $80 on Amazon. And it's a decent phone. It's definitely, you know, not a flagship, but it's got a really good screen and, oh well, 4 gigs of RAM, which is probably the equivalent of your Pixel 5.
Oh, that's a good question. How much RAM does this have? Let me double check. Yeah.
You need a new phone, Dan. You've put up with that one longer than I
can. Yeah.
And what's weird is, like, I'll go through, like, a couple of days where it just charges perfectly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I'll have, like, a week where I'm, like, I gotta struggle.
Yeah.
Now, with yours, does it just pop right out?
No, the charger?
The charger stay in there. It's just not connected. It's just a little loose. The angle's not quite right.
See, that's what happened. My son had a S21. In fact, I gotta go through and clean up the S21 and mail it back to Verizon. But we actually got him a S24 Plus with an outstanding deal. As long as I send my old phone back in, nothing, zero per month. On the S24, which is the latest one they have out. Well, I think are they bringing out the 25 soon? No. No, that's not until like January or February, I think, if I remember right. Anyway, I'm really impressed with his S24, although we had to wait a day to get a phone case, but, so far, he's liking it. I haven't heard any complaints this week. But what happened on his S21, it still worked fine. Screen was fine. It just wouldn't charge. The only way he could charge it, and I don't know if your phone has this, but his has wireless charging. That did work. All right, so we could have stretched it out. Yeah, we could have stretched it out a little longer, but... He was due for an upgrade, and I just went ahead and got him the upgrade, you know. But his was what was happening, and I tried cleaning the port out. I have all the stuff I need to do that, and I have done that, and then that has fixed it before. Just clean out all the schmutz that gets sucked into that port from your hanging around in your pocket, you know. But this, I couldn't, no matter what I did, I couldn't get it to work. And what would happen is you stick it in. When it's in the port, it would not charge either, but then right away it would almost right away it would pop right out of the port.
I ended up getting some port covers.
Yeah, it might not be a bad idea.
Yeah, when it happened to my 5, you know, back when I had Dan's problem, the first thing I did was just clean it, and that didn't help.
Yep. I personally have never killed the USB-C port. I have killed screens, but.
You know what else it's doing now too? And I don't know if this is the phone. Maybe not. The SIM card is starting to go, like, it tells me there's no SIM card in it, and then I gotta restart it, and then the SIM
card. Dude, it's
then
time. It,
your SIM card tray is starting to go.
Yeah, this or that.
You need a new phone.
Pixel 8A.
I love my phone.
The 5's got a great camera, though. It really, really does have a great camera.
Go for the Pixel 8A, man.
Hey, how much is that?
Go for the probably Samsung A15. Probably too much for you. Samsung Galaxy A15.
How long have you had the 5, Dan?
A 4.
Did you get a 4? Oh, yeah, I thought 4A. It was a 5.
I'm telling you, Dave, it's a 4.
How long have you had
the
5?
No, it's a 4A.
It?
Since release day, since launch
day. That's a
good
question. I don't know.
No, he didn't get it on launch day.
I did not get it on launch day.
My wife's phone is 4 years
old,
and I'm walking proof that she has low requirements and even
the
more.
The 8A is probably too rich for your blood, Dan. It's $499.
$499.
For that 128 gig.
That phone only came out in 2020. Google Pixel 4A. So. It looks like Amazon, you can pick one up for $210.
For 4A?
For 4A.
There you go, Dan.
Yeah, but is it still supported, though?
No.
No.
Who's your carrier?
T-Mobile.
Get the Nord N200.
Okay. How much is that?
I picked up mine for $79, but it looks like the sale ended and they're $98. The one I got was new at $79, but you can get renewed one for $79.
Dang!
Amazon. Where'd you get it from?
Okay.
I don't
the
trust
Pixel
Amazon
7A review, is though. Even the Pixel 7A is still $499. What
I
in the hell is Google smoking?
I dropped a link. The last link there.
So which one
the
do you have?
Nord
what?
200.
Yeah, and then 200.
No, $79.
Well,
what's wrong
that
with
that
it? Why
renewed.
Is it so cheap?
If you click the link I dropped in the show notes, that's for a new one.
$99 is new.
Still, it's under $100. So what's
it's
wrong with it that it's so cheap?
Yeah. That.
Slow as shit, that, then, right?
You
that's
know,
an important thing. Luke's phone has 12 gigs of RAM.
Look, I was running Octoprint on it.
Yeah, but I can run Octoprint on 3 phones ago.
Well, yeah, this would technically be like 2 phones ago, so.
I mean,
oh,
it doesn't.
Dude,
it
the
looks
screen
smooth,
is just
I mean.
Buttery smooth. And my son has not complained about it being slow, and he asked me to replace it with the exact same style of foam when he broke his, so I assume it's decent. And it is from OnePlus.
Does your kids hear about their bubble and their text not being the right color from iPhone users?
We don't associate with those people.
Wait, what's the problem?
Well, if you're not in iMessage, then what happens is your text will go to an iPhone user unencrypted. If you're on iMessage, it'll be encrypted and your bubble will be a certain color. That's why
there's a lot of problems with emojis when going from an iPhone to a non-iPhone phone.
Oh, yes.
When you're sending messages back and forth, the emojis are just going to be screwed up. And it's been a thing for several years, and, you know, people complain about it, but you know what Apple's response to that is? Get an iPhone! Why aren't you using an iPhone? Then you wouldn't have this problem.
Yeah. Here's the screwed up thing. I was trying to order something at AliExpress, and apparently my Gmail account is associated with an account on there that I'd never ordered from. Maybe I'd signed up for the account, never ordered or something. But I go to order and it says, your transaction failed. And I talked with their support, and they say, well, that's because you closed your account. I'm like, I didn't close my account. I never really had one. I'm like, what the fuck? So I just opened another, I opened another account with another email.
Exactly.
So.
Only use it for AliExpress. That way you know who's sending you the junk mail.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, dedicate a debit card to them. That way when it gets stolen, you know it was them.
I got a better solution. Use Google Pay and then I don't have to worry about that.
Oh, do they have a good program for blocking that type of thing?
You just use Google Pay. Yeah, Google Pay. It gives a one-time use number.
Oh. Interesting. I will keep that in mind.
In fact, that's the cool thing was, is they had a bunch of food trucks in at Hamvention for food there. And when I got my lunch, I tap to pay most of the time.
Oh, tap to pay uses the one-time use number too?
Well, when I use Google Pay, yeah.
Well, that's what I meant, when you use Google Pay.
Yeah.
That is cool. I will use Google Pay for everything then.
I use it to buy groceries all the time. In fact, who was it? Somebody that didn't take it before finally took it. And it's like, and now I'm using, I actually use Tap to Pay with my watch for Google Pay. So it works great.
What watch do you have?
I have the original Pixel Watch. I don't have the new one. At this point in the game, I'm kind of waiting for the third one to come out, which might be this fall. Definitely that for my phone. I don't owe that much more, and I'm probably going to upgrade the phone once the 9 is out. The 9 series. Probably the 9 Pro XL, I think. That's the rumored thing that they're going to have. There we go. Got my address in there. I'll have to look on there. They had some Arduino boards like for like a buck and some change. So I might order a couple of those. And I want to see if they have any proto boards too. I got some, with the, when I ordered the, DF, it's a DR Robots DF mini player for, which basically is an SD card slot and will play MP3 files. When I ordered those, it came with some speakers, but instead of having a wire connected to the contacts on the speaker, there's just a pad there. So I gotta solder some wires onto those. Yeah, so that I can connect it up. I might try and do like just some of my jumper wires that I have, you know. Now you can buy nice jumper wires, which have nice ferrules on the end of them. When I was in college, you know, we made our own. We basically just got wire and cut them and stripped the ends off and that's it. That's how we put wires into the breadboard. But now you can literally buy them that way. That's what came with my kit from when I got the Arduino board. The kit I bought is the one from Vilros, which has a nice book and gets you started with it. Of course, when that came out, I think the screenshots are all way out of date. Using a Arduino IDE version 2. Whatever it is. One thing I did notice is I had to screw around with the USB port for some reason, even though my user's in the group that the port's owned, I still can't write to the port until I go and do a chmod on the port. And basically do, what, I think 770 permissions, I think. Once I do that, I can write to it. And it won't let you run the IDE as root, which would get around all that. Which I'm fine not running it as root. I'd rather not, but the IDE is pretty nice. The latest version, you can still get the old version, but the 2.whatever version, I think it's like 2.2 something, will let you upload your sketches to the cloud, which is kind of nice. And a sketch in Arduino parlance is basically the code that runs that you use to program the board. I think they also have a web-based one on arduino.cc as well. But I don't like using the web-based anything, because if I can't get to the web and I need to program a board, well, there you go. It's like, let's go.
Sorry, time for you to hit the bed, huh?
Almost. I'm going to go to the gym in the morning just in case our boot camp group has an issue. I know the guy will sub when the other guy is when the girl's out. He's on vacation. And just in case she doesn't show up, I might just go and do 30 minutes on the treadmill again. Oh, I'm up the hill, on the hill program I've been doing, Joe. I've been doing level 9.
Cool.
Which is like, no, it goes like to like 7.5% on the slope. But it's called the program I'm doing on, it's on the Matrix treadmill, is a rolling hill program. So it'll go automatically go up and down, stuff like that. So, and I'm going between mostly 3.3 miles per hour to as much as 4. And I'm getting faster too. When I'm getting faster, I'm finally not losing my breath and stuff, you know. But it's driving my heart rate up in moderate range, so I'm good.
Cool. Well, as long as it's keeping the heart rate up.
Alright, I'm going to play this out. I'm going to play this out. Here you go. We'll see you next week. Have fun.
I am short.
Oh my god.
It's Hacker Public Radio.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, and that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
You were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Oh, nice. There you go.
Yeah, we have pizza tonight, man.
From Little Caesars.
Pizza, no pizza. Donatos. It was at church, and I only had 3 pieces.
Yeah.
And Donatos does squares, not wedges, so it wasn't that much.
All I had was homemade country fried steak and gravy, macaroni and cheese, green beans, mashed potatoes.
God, some real soul food, man.
God bless your wife.
Well, it was my wife and sister-in-law. We ate at my mother-in-law. She said she's out of the hospital.
Your mother-in-law got out of the hospital and made you that dinner?
No, no. My wife and sister-in-law made the dinner.
Oh, okay.
Her daughters made the dinner.
Man, well, your mother-in-law come right at you. Your wife and your sister-in-law are going to put you right back in that hospital with heart disease. Well, that's saturated fat, right?
My mother-in-law did make the slaw there.
Oh, good, good, good.
All right, stick a knife.
You like slaw?
For the next, like, 9 months. And then, like, every 2 weeks for a while after that, and then every 3 or 6 months after that, until I don't have as bad of a reaction to shit.
But that's something that just, like, suddenly switched on, or?
It's been slowly getting worse over the years. Evidently, allergies can get worse as you get older, either that or, you know, my exposure to burn pits is finally catching up to me.
Oh, that stinks. That's not fun.
No. What the fuck was that?
I think that was my computer.
And I'm getting a phone call.
Oh. Do 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 do. All right, let's see here. Wait, is this me? Oh my God, what did I do? Oh. Man, it's almost June. Where did time go? Where did the time go? I don't know. Let's see, who do we got here? Did I do that? Okay. Alright. Do we get a notification from Dave? Is he not gonna be on again today? Gotta look. We can guarantee that Joel is going to be late. Yep. Ooh, somebody in trouble. It's never a good sign when the property manager's sending a picture around to something somebody might be doing, asking if this is you, or if it is you, to contact the property manager. Never good. Never good. That's when you pretend you never saw the email. Or you never looked at it. Or it got caught in your spam folder. Especially when it's one of your cats that you're not supposed to have hanging out in front of the house.
Hello.
Especially in the neighbor's yard. What's up, Davey?
How y'all doing?
We're waiting for you.
Well, I'm here.
That's all that matters now.
I reckon.
We fired Joel.
All right.
Yeah, we said, you've been cutting Dave Yates off too much. Get out of here. Oy, oy, oy. How's your daughter doing?
She's doing real good.
I'm good. I'm glad to hear that. She fully recovered now?
Oh, yeah.
Now she trying to milk it for more?
Oh, no. She's all good now.
Oh, that's good.
It's my mother-in-law that's been in the hospital here recently. She's 95, but she's doing good, too.
Well, I hope she's going. Is she going to come out of the hospital?
Oh yes, they kept her overnight, and she's home now. So,
well, 95 will do that, won't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Good for her, man. 95. That is great.
Be 96 in January if she makes it.
Well, that didn't sound optimistic.
I'm optimistic. My wife's not, but she's a nurse and she is her mom. She worries, but I'm more optimistic than she is.
Okay. All right. I don't know if Joe's back yet. Ay, ay, ay. Get yourself a big old thing of watermelon, Dave?
No.
What happens if you eat watermelon?
It's a mild anaphylaxis. I mean, it could get worse, I guess. I mean, if you have that kind of reaction, you shouldn't
tempt it. Tempt fate, right?
Yeah. I mean, the next one could kill you kind of thing. But yeah, throat swells up. I mean, all the mucous membranes swell up and hive and it's generally unpleasant. I mean, you could technically suffocate.
Oh. Man, I remember, I think it was an episode. Oh, man, one of the episodes of The Incredible Hulk. Lou Ferrigno and
what was the other guy's name?
Bill Bixby, yeah. If I recall correctly,
Sesame seeds.
Huh?
Does this story get sesame seeds in it?
No, it's okay. Got a, I believe somebody, this guy was driving a Jeep and he wasn't wearing a seatbelt or something and it's suddenly, I don't know if it got into an accident or a stab or whatever and the guy, like, hit his throat, and I think this was the Incredible Hulk, hit his throat against the steering wheel, and it collapsed his throat, and they had to, like, a Bill Bixby character had to cut a hole in his trachea put a pen in there so that he could breathe. That was the Incredible Hulk, wasn't it?
I think.
Yeah, you remember that, right?
Well, there's been a lot of tracheotomy scenes in TV shows.
Well, that's the one I remember, Dave.
Yeah, I remember one in MASH. I remember several.
Okay, yeah, I didn't watch a lot of MASH. That was an old person show, Dave. When I was growing up.
MASH milked it. I mean, the Korean War was, a Korean police conflict was 3 years, and MASH was on for 11.
Now, that is something, isn't it? That MASH was huge.
Yeah. Did you ever see the movie that the show was based on?
No, because I didn't. I don't. No, I didn't. I didn't. Because I didn't watch the show, so I didn't see the movie. Although, you know, it's like one of those things where it was like such an iconic television series.
Yeah.
Like,
but in the movie, you actually find out the lyrics to the theme song of the TV show. There was a dentist character in the movie that committed suicide or thought he was trying to commit suicide, but I think they played a joke on him. But, the song is called Suicide is Painless.
Yeah, I remember hearing the title of that song because I had a rendition of it, some sheet music.
Okay.
For it for the trombone.
Oh, you played trombone?
Yeah.
You look like a trombone player. Oh, you did in your youth, I should say, the pictures I've seen. You're like a band geek's what I'm saying.
Oh, there we go, huh? Wait, did you play an instrument, Dave?
I did.
What did you play?
I played, almost as bad. I played, B flat clarinet, but I could play a bunch of things. I could play, I played saxophone, I played oboe, I could play a little bit of trumpet, but mainly clarinet.
There you go. That's cool, man.
The only thing I play now is drums. My wife bought me a drum kit, 10 years ago. I've been doing one my whole life, and, so I'm slowly teaching myself how to play drums.
How's it going?
I don't know. I don't get to play as often as I want because it sends all the cats in the house into PTSD.
I bet it does.
The only time I get to play is when the house is empty. If everybody's gone, I can play.
But your grandchild probably loves your drums, right?
He does. He does. He likes to play them too. Oh, I say he plays them. He's 11 months old. I have to help him, but yeah.
There you go. Oh, wow. Holy moly. So you heading off to self in a couple weeks?
No, I'm not.
What's wrong with
you? I thought about it, but I got too much going on.
I would love to go, but...
I'll get back one day, I'm sure.
I don't know anybody there except, I guess, Jeremy.
Yeah, I don't either. That's what was weird the last one I went to was... You don't know anybody anymore.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, more Dancy will be there. And
yeah.
Wait, did Murph say he was going?
I don't know. I can't remember.
Who else would be there? There's probprobably like two or three people that I would remember or recognize. Maybe four or five. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I know, you know, Payne. I know Jace Eckert from Self. I know some of them from Self, but I've not been to I've not been to an Upstate Carolina Linus used to go meeting in forever. So, but I still know some of them.
Oh, what's his name? Not Patrick Volkerdig. One of the other Slackware guys. He used to go to Self all the time. Why do I want to say Jay Hicks? I don't think it's Jay Hicks.
It's Alan Hicks.
Alan Hicks, that's right.
Yeah, Alan Hicks.
Yeah. Wonder how he's
doing.
Yeah,
you don't forget him.
Wonder how he's doing.
I hope well.
I hope so too. Ay, ay, ay.
So is Joel going to be late or is he not going to be on?
Oh, he's always late. He's got that church thing. So we should probably just start, and then right when you're about to say something, Dave, he'll come right in. He'll come right in and say,
"That's all right."
He was my doing sneakers.
That. I'm sure he was doing that before I rejoined the show.
You just got to learn to talk over him to just talk so much crap while he's talking that it makes his brain skip. And then we can move on to another topic.
Ay, ay, ay. All right. Let's start the show now that Joe's back.